Hello.
Yeah, hi. Trying to speak with Mr. Peter Gunther.
Yeah, speaking. Who's this?
Okay, Mike here from Huff and Mazer. We had a call
Oh, hey.
scheduled.
Yeah,
Yeah.
Julian, would you 1 second. Pause this. Hey, this is Mike.
Yeah, this is Mike from Huff and Mazer.
Hey, Mike. Yeah. So I'm here with my business partner, waiting for your call.
All right, lovely.
Great. So
Wait, yeah.
yeah, so we're so so we signed the NDA. We're good on that. I can kind of so I can more fully tell you what we're looking for. So I gave you kind of the basics, which is the a scheduling app, right?
Right,
Well, real
yeah.
quick, you guys customize app, you customize apps.
We custom develop applications from scratch, yeah. So we don't offer like a product that's available off the shelf. We build the
Okay.
application hand in glove, like according to your requirements.
Okay, so basically we have something that's kind of unique. The idea is to have a scheduling app where the client and the provider basically they you set up a schedule with the day and the time and a location, right? So
Right.
let's say I'm the provider of the service, right? And you're the client. I have my app. I click on my, this is my location where I am. I send the in, you know, I, you know, the client comes on. They look, say they find an ad somewhere. They click on the person thing to book. Let's say they book it, right? They
Okay.
can also put, the provider has the ability to say that a deposit is mandatory. Right, so they have to put down a deposit. Boom.
Okay.
So now you have appointment scheduled. You have the location where it is, right? And then you have the deposit is made. So now what happens is the day and the times come when that's supposed to, when the appointment is supposed to be. Okay?
Okay.
So the deposit is sitting there in limbo, right? So, if the provider of the service is saying, yes, the person didn't show up, right?
Okay.
Then they should get the deposit. But however, the client may show up and say, no, the provider's not here or whatever. It's a basic way to prevent someone from scamming deposits out of people, right?
Okay, yeah,
So
that's right,
the
yeah.
way we see it is the way the workaround would be that when the client shows up, their location in their phone, the app will read the location in their phone and say, yes, this is a match to what the provider's location was provided. And therefore, he's there. So if the provider is, if the, so when the day and the time, the app would basically say, okay, let me look at the location of the provider. Boom. Yes, they're there. Let me look at the location of the client. Yes, they're there.
Okay.
If the client and the provider are there, the deposit gets funded. If the client is there and the provider isn't, then the funding is returned.
Okay, so more like the application itself auto arbitrates between the provider and the client in the sense that it collects the GPS location of both the client and the provider, and it compares that location to the initial point of meeting that was decided at the time when the deposit was paid. So if both
Correct.
the client and the provider were available on that location, then it's a completed transaction, right?
Yeah,
The
so
money gets
that's,
settled. Yeah, sorry.
yeah, that's about that. So there's two steps to this, right? So the first step, so if we think about it, it would be if the provider is there and the guest is not, then the deposit is funded to the provider, or the, sorry, the client. Then the provider of the service is funded. So that's one option. The second option is if the guest is there, excuse me, if the client is there and the provider is not, then the funding is returned.
And that
If
happens
both are,
automatically, right?
yeah, it would happen automatically. Okay.
Okay.
So that would then, if both are there, right, then we're going to move to a step two, okay, which is face-to-face
right.
confirmation. Because the GPS, the location tracker, might get you to, you know, I don't know how close it can be, but,
mm-hmm.
I mean, if you could get it, like, you know, within a few feet of the person's door, then that's fine, but I'm sure it's not going to be that accurate, right? I mean, especially...
Within about 200
also,
meters is what... Yeah, within about 200 meters is what Google, the Google Map claims. So if we use that
okay.
same Google Maps application, then, you know, we're looking at a 200 meters proximity.
Okay.
But yeah, that.
Okay,
yeah.
So that's good. That's the first step, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then if they're both there, then we go to the second, which is face-to-face confirmation. And there's several iterations in here, right? So if the client confirms, if let's say they go and they knock on the door and they say, okay, my therapist is there, and they confirm that they're there, and then the host confirms, the provider confirms, if both confirm, then the money is funded, right? The deposit's automatic, goes to the provider's, the service provider's account. If the client confirms and the provider doesn't, well, the money gets funded regardless, right? Because the client is basically saying, if the client confirms, then the money is funded. So we don't even need confirmation of the service provider, right? If they're both at the location and the GPS has confirmed that they're both there, now we're looking for the face-to-face confirmation by the client. So if the client confirms the door is open and they have their whatever, boom, the funding is funded. If the client does not confirm, then the money is refunded.
So I think, Peter, I understand the gist of the idea, and I'd be honest with you, immediately I like the idea and where it's coming from, but a couple of questions
yeah.
right back at you, right? So, A,
yeah,
you know, a lot of these meetings and a lot of this business has now moved online and is done virtually, right, especially after COVID. I think it has changed the whole business patterns, and it has changed the whole, even the corporate pattern, into a virtual direction,
yeah.
and that is pretty much permanent.
I see where you're going, and that's fair. But there's also, so we want to open this up to all service providers, and there are certain services where you need to be present with the person.
Hmm.
Okay, so that might be. Physical fitness.
Yeah. Yeah.
A masseuse, like massage therapy.
Right, right.
You see what I'm saying?
Personalized services, any kind, yeah. That makes sense. So right
yeah.
now it's
so massage.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sorry?
Yeah. No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, yeah, so I was just confirming, so right for now it's just going to be for people meeting in person rather than online, but then, you know, probably in a future iteration, you may want to look at the possibility of tracking if someone, both people have, for example, joined a Zoom meeting that was scheduled for a particular time or not, and then based upon that, make the deposit refundable or not, or follow the same pattern
yeah.
With the application.
Yeah, that'll be a second iteration. Right now, we're focused on face-to-face confirmation using this mapping software to, one, make sure both people are in the same area, and then follow it up with a confirmation. Because at the end of the day, if I'm going to put a deposit down, I want to make sure that the provider is going to show up and I'm not just going to lose my deposit.
Okay, but that
right?
that kind of brings me to my next question. That is, I mean, right now you're thinking from the shoes of a client, right? And I'm not trying to discourage you from your idea. I'm just trying to,
I've thought it all through. And so here's the issue. So if you think about it from – from the viewpoint of a provider, a lot of people, if you don't offer a deposit service, if you say, okay, I don't need a deposit, let's just set up the time, they spend an enormous amount of time booking clients, showing up at places, and then these people just not showing up, right? So having the deposit there is, you know, having a deposit in place is important, right? They're going to want to have that deposit. However, in certain industries, a lot of people won't want to put down a deposit because there's across the internet, there's a growing trend of scam, right, where people offer a service and they say, yeah, okay, this just send me a deposit, we'll book the thing, and they don't even show up for the provider doesn't show up for the service.
That is correct.
So this is a way to kind of to scam proof anything, right? It's the benefit of the provider and it's the benefit of the client.
Okay, so you don't think this could be misused by the client or someone who is impersonating a client? This could not be misused by them, is what you're saying, right?
Well, why would it be, right? Because, you know, basically there's no upside. The upside for a client, there is no upside because they're putting down a deposit and the best benefit that they get is that they just get their money back.
Okay. Right, yeah, that makes sense, yeah.
Right, so there's no upside. So they're just basically saying, okay, I'm going to put a deposit down, and even if I'm going to bail, if my intention is to bail on this appointment, I at the very least have to show up to the building.
Right.
So there's no upside for the client. For the provider, there's no upside other than the client showing up and saying, yeah, I'm like the client has to, if the client shows up, then the only way the provider could get the deposit
right
is if they are there as well, and the client says, confirms the face-to-face, yes, they open the door, I'm in.
Right, you're making sense, and, you know, I pretty much agree with whatever you mentioned. So this is pretty much it about the viability of the concept, and I think it looks pretty much viable. It looks like a good idea as well. But, however, from a technical perspective, the only thing that I'd have to, kind of reconfirm or look into is whether how is the payment merchant going to handle that, right? Because let's say we talk about the most, some of the most reputed payment merchants that are pretty much well known. You might have heard the names as well. Let's say Stripe, right? Now, Stripe would allow you to deposit the money to a third, you know, you are the business, like you, the person who administers the application is the business. And then you're dealing between two parties. So we'd be using Stripe Connect. That is one of the products of Stripe. And I'll have to see whether they can automatically refund the amount based upon a certain algorithm or based upon a certain, an if match, as we call it, whether that is doable automatically through the system or not.
Right.
But otherwise,
okay.
Yeah.
And the source of the payment, I would really like to have it set up so that when the client goes in and gives their deposit, they have a variety of ways they could pay. They could either pay the deposit through Zelle, they can pay through a credit card, or alternatively, the big option would probably be to buy a right through the app, buy a gift card, like a Visa.
Uh-huh.
Gift card, and for a certain amount of money, and then apply that.
Right. Yeah. So most reputable, at least the most reputable merchants or payment gateways these days, they do offer a variety of methods. Right. So all kinds of debit cards, including Diners, JBL, American Express,
right.
Discover, whatever that is, and then on top of that, they offer Google Pay, Apple Pay. They offer. A lot of them offer Zelle as well, so that I think shouldn't be a problem. Of course, something like a Walmart gift card, that may not be accepted.
No.
But yeah. But pretty much most payment methods that are used in America that are going to be, done through one single merchant integration. So that should not be a problem.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
All right, cool. All right.
So
Great.
Peter, where are you
So what's our
standing at
next
with this
step?
application? I mean, what's your do you have any kind of
Well,
designs around? Do you have any wireframes? Yeah.
And I'm sorry, you what?
Do you have any kind of wireframe set up? I mean, what stage are you
What's a
at
wire?
with this
What's a
application?
wire? What's a wire? What's a wireframe?
Wireframes are basically, these are skeletons of screens before they're converted into actual designs, right? So when you want to locate everything on a 6-inch mobile screen, you have to make sure
Yep.
everything is accessible from a user experience standpoint, right? The UX, as we call it.
Okay.
So yeah,
Yeah,
so
so
they're
I have some I have some sketches drawn up just like by hand of kind of what I think it could look like. I could, I got to let me I'll redraw them and send them to you and say, "Okay, this is kind of these are the this visually this is what I think the information will look like." I can take you kind of through the process of what I would you would see from a client perspective as well as a service provider perspective. And I can send you that, but I'm just going to have to draw it so it's a little bit more clear. But I could turn that around quickly. And then in terms of getting to go, I mean, I'm pretty, I'm ready to go.
Lovely. So, I mean, I'll show you what I mean by wireframes and what they actually look like. So we will do the legwork anyway. But this is pretty much a part of the process, and that kind of brings me to the explanation on how we work, right? And that's going to clarify
Okay.
a lot of things for you on how we work and what the collaboration between you and us is going to look like. So I just sent you a text
Okay.
message, and this one has like a glimpse of what a wireframe looks like, right? It's pretty much a barebone skeleton of what the screens could look, but then it doesn't
Yep.
have the colors, it doesn't have the the look and feel, it doesn't have your branding. It just locates everything on a simple
Yeah.
3 by 6 inches box,
Yep, I got it.
right?
Yes.
So
So, yeah.
let me ask you this. I think you already did mention that you're looking to start immediately, but just to confirm, I mean, how soon are you looking to get started on this? And I have a reason behind asking you this. I'll come back to that. But how soon do you want to get going on this?
So if you come back to me and say, yes, the payment provider will, there is a way to authorize, a refunding of the amount, then, I'm pretty much ready to go. I probably need just like a week or maybe 2 weeks maximum just to organize some things. I have to incorporate a company. I have to, fund that company. I mean, I have all the money to fund. I'm ready to go, but I just have to kind of go through some hoops to
Sure.
incorporate, set up a bank account, all that stuff. The other
Yeah.
item, and this is just food for thought, it might be such that you don't even need the payment provider to authorize, right? So it could be such that let's say, like, so the client puts in their information for the credit card or the debit card, whatever it might be, and then we don't even contact the payment provider until the so if the iterations go through, the if or and thing goes through, and it's ready to fund based off of the criteria, then the payment provider is reached out to and say, okay, go ahead and fund this, right? If so, it doesn't happen at the time, funding doesn't happen at the time that the appointment's set up. It's either the deposit is either funded, like the information is collected, but it's either funded at the time, it's either, the payment processor is either contacted or not at the time of the meeting based on the GPS tracking and then the face-to-face confirmation.
Right, Caesar, how this is going to work, essentially, again, there are two ways to make this work, right? So I'm not saying that it cannot work. In fact, there are two ways you could make this work, right? So one way is where, the easiest way is where we could set up Stripe, or we could set up the payment merchant in a way where, based upon, say, two yes, based upon a condition, it triggers like a a trigger into the payment merchant, whereby the payment merchant
Right.
automatically processes a refund if they get, let's say, a two yes in a particular
Yep.
condition, right? So that's a yes on the first condition and a yes on a second condition. The payment
Got
merchant
it.
itself is going to go ahead and make the refund. It's going to process the refund. The other way to do it is where we'd have to manually set up more like a cron job, right? Now, a cron job is basically, it's a timely, based upon a certain time-bound duration, let's say every hour, it's going to, so how the system's going to work is that it's going to we're going to make this condition, and based upon that condition, it's going to verify or it's going to deny every transaction. So at the end of, let's say, an hour, you'd have a list of all the payments that need to be refunded because they met both the conditions for the refund, right? The service provider did not
Yep.
show up, and the client confirmed that yes, they did not show up. So that said, what that kind of transaction is going to go into more like an escrow or more like a list that's going to be subject to a cron job that we're going to manually set up that's going to send Stripe a payment instruction every hour to transfer the money back to the client of or the list of all the clients that were not
Yeah.
that met that condition.
I under yeah. So one of those two ways, but I'm what I'm suggesting is maybe even a third way, right? And the third way is that there's no refunding. It's either the money gets funded or it just or the payment provider is never even contacted.
Well,
So
so yeah.
do you see what I'm saying? So the deposit the information to get the deposit is provided by the client. And if the certain conditions are met, the deposit is funded. If the certain conditions are not, in lieu of a refund, it's just never the payment provider has never reached out to. The money is
Okay,
never
but it's
drawn.
right. But let's look at this situation, right? So especially for situations where the actual appointment happens, say, a week or 2 weeks later after the appointment has been scheduled, right? Now,
Yes.
today I'm booking an appointment with a provider, and you, according to
Yep.
your theory, I don't pay anything right now. I pay when I, at the time of appointment, the client pays
Yep.
when the condition has been met, right? Now, the
Right.
problem with that is that a lot of service providers like to take the, they like to collect the deposit upfront, and in most cases, it's non-refundable as well, right? And in most cases, they collect a deposit because it is non-refundable. It is a compensation for
Right.
their time and for their effort, right? To come down to the
Right.
service and be available.
Understood.
Now, if they don't
So
collect,
I,
yeah.
yeah. No, I see where you're going. And the idea would be in this app, there would be a credit that would be kind of sitting in limbo. It would say, so from the appearances of the client, the service provider in their little account, let's say that I'm the service provider, you're the client. You make the deposit in my account. Let's say the deposit is $50. In my account, it says $50 deposit, which will then become, it the deposit is, let's say, activated or accessible at the time of the meeting.
Right, I got you. So you're going to be the one administering the points, right? So the customer keeps some kind of points as money in their account, and every time they set up an appointment, you have access to their credit that you could automatically have the transaction happen when the conditions are met. So
Yes.
you're talking about more of a wallet within the application that carries the points that the client can use, right?
It's more. Yeah, it's a wallet. It's a wallet, sure. Where it's kind of the money is just kind of phantom until the things go back and forth. Until the iterations are done, and you recognize whether it gets funded or not. And this third way I'm talking about, by the way, Mike, is just if the payment provider can't do funding and refunding and all that stuff based off of you know, the application. This just might be a workaround. I mean, it seems to me that the funding and the refunding and all that sounds like a lot of financial transactions happening, you know, not without, you know, when it may not be necessary. Like to have a phantom wallet where, you know, let's say I'm a service provider, I open up my app, someone makes a scheduling for a week from now, it says $40 is in my wallet or $50 is in my wallet for the app, for the deposit, which then gets funded to my bank account of choosing or my Zelle or whatever on the day of. So they know, yes, the $40 isn't accessible at that moment, but so long as they show up, that $40, if the person doesn't show up, they're getting that money.
Right. So in other words, you're kind of escrowing the money for the customer until the transaction happens. And the only thing I'll have to check is whether you need an escrow license for something like this or not, right? Otherwise, I mean, the other way, a simple reiteration to what you mentioned is, you know, we could set up a wallet within your – because you can collect money from people. It's just that you have more liability in terms of, you know, an administrator of the application. You have more liability because you're managing funds for people, right, because they keep some
kind of funds with
you.
That's just it. That's why the workaround, so we don't have to deal with the escrow, is this kind of this digital wallet where the money is only funded so long as the money is only funded to the service provider so long as they meet their conditions. If they're there at that given point, then they should be funded. Their GPS locks up and says, yep, I'm here. They should be funded.
So long as
the client, if the client denies it, well then they don't get funded, right? But so
I think the best way would be
the
best way would be to have the payment merchant deal with that, because they have all the, you know, the necessary licenses and everything. Because how I see it, I think, you know, the client would. Your target audience would be service providers, right? So you will be targeting service providers for this application and not the clients, right? So the clients, when they look at your application the first time, is when they are trying to book a service provider that's using your appointment calendar or your appointment application. And they wouldn't want to set up an account, have the money transferred over, keep that in your wallet, because that's just like the Starbucks application, right? That's exactly what the Starbucks does. They keep the money, but people... In this scenario, people actually use Starbucks frequently. They trust them, they know about them, and they don't mind keeping the money with Starbucks, and that's exactly why people actually call Starbucks a bank rather than a coffee company, right? The problem with you is going to be that a lot of people are going to know you the first time, and they're looking to book an appointment. They wouldn't want to go through the hassle of, you know, first registering an account, then, you know, depositing the money, then, you know, setting up their, you know, using their card to make their deposit. They might not want to do it, right? Again, we're talking from a practical viability perspective. I think the best way to go about it is to have the merchant handle this. And if the merchant can handle this, then I think any other ways would kind of become futile, because the best way would be for the merchant to actually execute the transaction and then reverse the transaction when you know, it's the conditions have been met for a refund.
Yeah, but exactly to your point. I mean, if I'm a client, right? Why do I want to have? I would much prefer to not have my deposit taken, and then reversed, right? I would rather just say, okay, I'm not going to be billed for the deposit unless I don't show up. Right.
I mean, if you look at it right now, people still do make the deposit when they are booking with a service provider, right? They want to go to a salon two weeks later. They will pay the money today. They will pay on the paywall today to book the appointment for 2 weeks later. And their money stays with the provider, or their money stays in the escrow for that amount of time, right? So I don't think clients would mind paying upfront.
Yeah. To hold their appointment. I guess what I don't understand, Mike, is, you know, just conceptually, just you know, from the standpoint whether it gets funded and then refunded.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't. It's whether it gets funded at the time the appointment is made and then refunded, let's say down the line a week or 2 weeks later, okay, or 2 days later, or 3 days, whatever
right.
it is.
Mm-hmm.
Or it gets just either funded or not funded the day of. What's the difference for the service provider versus the or the client? Either way, they're either getting funded or not funded. It's just a matter of whether that money is, you know, because it's not going to get accept. Like if the money gets funded, let's say to the service provider,
right?
In a week from the appointment, they're not going to be able to access that money until it gets confirmed, right?
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
So what I'm thinking is forget about the refunding section or escrowing money or collecting money up front. Just mm-hmm. have it be the same situation if you know, it's phantomly sitting in escrow, in a phantom escrow. No money has really moved. But from the eyes of the client and the eyes of the service provider, the money has been funded, right? Or it's sitting,
right.
or it's teed up for funding. And then at that time, when the iterations go through and the if and the end and all those things get either confirmed or not, it's either the decision tree comes one of two things: either the money gets pulled from the client's account, or it does not.
Okay,
and
that makes
whole,
sense. Yeah, mm-hmm.
yeah. We avoid the whole escrow situation. We avoid refunding money. We avoid all of it.
Right. The only thing we'd have to set up in a way that the wallet has to have the minimum balance, or you cannot take the money out of the wallet as a customer for at least the amount that has been, equal to the amount that you have used up or that you have promised
right.
for the schedules that you have made through the application. Yeah, so that's doable. That
right.
is perfectly doable.
Yeah, so to your point is, what if someone buys a gift card for $100 and that's supposed to be used for a deposit? And then a week later, they've gone out and they've used that gift card,
mm-hmm.
right? They bought other shit, and that credit and that is no longer, that deposit balance is no longer available to draw from that card, and that's a possibility, and that might be able to be controlled through either using a credit card with a, you know, that's got a. You know, that doesn't have a finite balance like a gift card does. So maybe at the time of transaction or the time the appointment is set up, we can reach out to the payment provider and say, one, does it have the balance in it to cover this? If yes, then so maybe that's the first step. Before the appointment's even made, we reach out to the payment provider and say, hey, confirm that they got the ability. This is an active card with a balance in it, right?
But see, by that time, we cannot leave it to the day when the appointment is actually scheduled for, right? And this is, again, for those appointments that are scheduled for 3 days later or 6 days later or 2 weeks later.
Yeah, yeah.
Because there are infinite situations. Say I use a debit card that does not have the money in it, right? Now, I have connected the debit card to the application. I have authorized
right.
you to collect the payment at the time when this happens, but I
right.
may not have the funds in there, right? I may just have the $1
right.
transaction
so
amount.
So that's why you're
yeah.
got it. So that's why you're saying this has to get funded up front.
Exactly. Yeah, and I don't think the clients would mind that because that's exactly how it works right now. You pay up when you have to
okay.
schedule an appointment. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Right. Okay.
I think
yeah,
your application is more about the security.
I'm not worried about the client mind. I'm not worried whether the client minds or not, because you're right. That's how it's done now. I'm just was trying to come up with a way where we could work around having to escrow money or one, escrow money, and then two, having to deal with multiple transactions, because I'm sure that the service provider is going to want to take a fee if the money is transferred and then returned. You know, that's going to be expensive. So I was trying to think of a way to get around that.
Right, yeah, in that regard, I mean, we, apart from the technical viability of it or whether it's doable or not through the merchant or how we do it, I mean, it is doable, but how we do it, whether through a cron job or whether, it's done automatically, I think the more important is whether what kind of refund they get if the transaction gets reversed, right? Because the merchant keeps the fee as well, right? They have any merchant has a minimum 2.9% plus 30 cents flat on every transaction right now. Do they refund that amount or not is something that I can check right now, but I think they do make a deduction when you go for a refund, and that has to be borne by either the service provider or the customer.
Right.
But just give me a moment. That's something that I can check for you right now.
Yeah. What do you say?
You can refuse money. I can pay you and you can send it right back.
You're not even in the same stratosphere of what we're talking about, because you're fucking around on your phone. You're out. You cut off. Not bothering the shop business anymore.
Okay, Peter, can you give me a moment? I have my I have one of our lead project managers there. And he might be able to instantly answer the question for me.
All right, great.
Right, so I'll just put you on mute for like a moment.
Yeah, go for it.
All right, thank you.
You did, didn't you?
Yeah,
no, I didn't.
So I asked the two black cherries, and I asked for the raspberry and the ruby.
You did, yeah. You did. Do you have any more down there? Hey, will you call Mary for me real quick?
Mary?